Good morning. It's good to see you guys here. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Romans the 8th chapter. And if you are a first time guest with us here today, my name is Larry Johnson. I have the privilege of teaching and explaining the Word of God with us today. And we've been going through the book of Romans. So today we're in Romans the 8th chapter. And I will read the entire chapter. And I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. You may have a different version, but you'll find these similar words. Please listen to the Word of God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God's and of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us, or to us. For creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay in the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit enables believers to live out their justification in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit enables believers to live out their justification in Christ Jesus. If you've gone to any football game or any basketball game, any game with a cheerleader, you probably have heard this cheer. We've got spirit. Yep. Yeah, y'all know it. You can say it with me. We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? There is something that these cheerleaders know that about having spirit. When you have team spirit, when you have spirit, it changes how you experience things. It changes how you look at things. It changes your whole experience of the game, whether you're winning or losing. It changes how you experience it. In a greater, deeper, more expansive, comprehensive, and dare I say eternal way, when we have the Spirit of God in our lives, it changes how we experience our relationship with God. It changes how we experience the world that we're in. And this is what Paul is talking about in this chapter. The last chapter, Romans 7, was kind of a hard chapter. Paul was saying how we cannot meet God's standard. Sin has such a hold on us. And even though the law is good and holy and just, the law awakens sin in us. Because the law shows us how sinful we are when we compare ourselves to the standard of God. Now notice this. When we look at other people, we might not think we're all that bad. When we look at other people, I'll say it this way. When I look at other people, I think, you know, I'm not that bad. Matter of fact, I'm pretty good. I'm all that in a bag of Zapp's potato chips. I'm pretty good. But God never calls us to meet the standard of other people. He always calls us to meet his standard. And when we look at God's standard, when we look at the law, we see a mirror that God is so good. And then we look at ourselves and see, we're not that good. As a matter of fact, we're not good at all. We are deplorable. We are horrible. We are fallen and broken. And there's nothing we can do to earn ourselves into right standing with God. And to put the cherry on top, Paul then talks about in Romans 7 how there's this internal struggle that he has. And when he wants to do good, he ends up doing bad. And he tries to avoid doing the bad, but he still does it because of this internal war, this internal conflict. And he asks the question, who will save me from this? Who will rescue me from this internal struggle with sin? And the answer in the last verses of chapter 7 is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. And from there, Paul transitions and says, now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, enables believers to live out their justification in Christ. And so how does Paul describe this life in the Spirit? Now that we are justified, and justification, by the way, just a reminder, justification means right standing before God. And it is by grace through faith. And by grace means it's not something that we could earn, that God just gives it to us because he loves us and he cares for us, but not that we earned it. But not only that, it is through faith. It's not something that you can work with. All you have to do is believe and trust in Christ. And because you trust in Christ, the grace of God gives you this right standing before him. And so Paul tells us that the Spirit frees us to live righteously. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, frees us to live righteously. In those first 14 verses, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then he goes on to talk about that in verse 8, that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Because we have the Spirit of God, we are free to live righteously. Whenever God delivers, he delivers from something and also to something. God never delivers people from something and just leaves them. He always delivers them from something so they can be delivered to something. And y'all looking at me like, what do you mean? I'm glad you're asking this question, because here it is. Let's look at the Bible and see when he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. He delivered them from oppression in Egypt to deliver them to the promised land where they can worship him in spirit and in truth. See, God delivers from. Also, he delivers to. You know, in 1 Peter, when Peter talks about how God has delivered us from darkness into his marvelous light, he didn't deliver us from darkness so we could just stay in darkness or just twiddle our thumbs. He delivers us to his marvelous light. When God, thank you, Josh. Thank you so much. Because when God delivers us, he's delivering us from and to. And so God delivers us from the law of sin and death. And with that law is really the power of sin and death over our lives. And Paul says, when you gave your life to Christ, when you converted, when Jesus has justified you and made you right with God, he also remove the power of sin and death over your life to deliver you to live according to the Spirit. Now, I might show my age a little bit about this. There was a TV show, and whenever one of the characters did something bad, he would always say that, like, the devil made me do it, right? But here's the thing. The devil has no power over those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, those who are in the world, the Bible says that that the flesh, and when the Bible says flesh in this context, they're meaning our sinful nature. And those who live in the sinful nature, those who are not in Christ, they are under the power of their sinful nature, and they cannot help but sin. Look, y'all, sinners gonna sin. That's what sinners do. And if you're not saved, that's your life. You have no power over it. But thanks be to God that God has delivered us from sin over into living a righteous life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why there is no condemnation. I heard a preacher once say that whenever the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Whenever the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Because he has been defeated and his power over your life is gone. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives, frees us to live righteously. But not only that, the Holy Spirit also confirms our adoption as God's children. The Holy Spirit confirms our adoption as God's children. Look with me in verses 12 through verse 17. It says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to flesh, you are going to die." Here's what Paul is saying. You have no duty to obey your sinful nature. You're not bound to your sinful nature anymore. And if you keep living by it, you're going to die. Sin, the flesh, sinful nature always leads to death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It is within our power with the Holy Spirit to defeat and conquer sin. Why? Because Jesus had already conquered sin for us. And if Jesus already conquered sin for us, by the Holy Spirit, we can overcome our sinful nature. We can put to death that old man or that old woman, that sinful nature. But he says, "For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." Paul says, when you got saved, God not only justified you, and God not only broke the power of sin over your life, he said, but God, by giving you the Holy Spirit, confirm that you are a child of God. Amen. And here's what's so important about this. He says you receive the Spirit of adoption. We have quite a few families here in Bridge Church that are doing foster care and have adopted kids. And that's a wonderful ministry. And it says something about somebody who's going to go and adopt a kid that's not their biological kid and bring them into the home and show them all the love and care of the family. In the Roman times, in the Roman Empire, there was a rule that the father, the husband, was the ruler of the house. And anything the father said or the husband said went. That husband, father could sell his children and wife into slavery and servitude. And it was perfectly okay. It was perfectly legal. But when it came to adoption, the husband, father can disown all of his kids. But if that husband, father adopted a child, he cannot later disown that kid. He could disown his biological kids. But if he adopted a kid, that child had all the rights of his biological child, of his biological children, but he could not later on disown his adopted child. In some sense, it was a stronger relationship than the biological relationship. And here is what Paul is saying. You have been adopted by God into his family. And the proof of that is that God gave you the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that could happen that you could be rejected by God. There is nothing that could happen that would cause God to disown you because you are now an adopted child of God. He says, now the Spirit testifies with us, right? We receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That term, Abba, is Aramaic for father, but it's really a more intimate term than father. It's daddy. It's daddy. Now, my daughter does not call me father. Now, I am her father, but she doesn't call me father. That's formal, right? She has a more intimate relationship with me. She calls me daddy, right? Or dada, right? There's one time she called me dad and I almost flipped out. Like, you are too young to call me dad. You will call me daddy for the rest of your life. But this is our relationship with God, that we call him not just father, but really like daddy. And there's nothing we could do that would ever cause God to disown us. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we are God's heir. Everything that God has, we have. We are joint heirs. Some of your versions might say co-heirs with Christ. We share in the glory of Christ because we have the Spirit of adoption. He says, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with them. Now that's suffering, we don't like that. We don't like that term. Biblically, suffering is different from inconvenience. See, sometimes in our kind of Western American life, we think we're suffering when we're really just inconvenience. You know, when I'm sitting in traffic, I think I'm suffering for the Lord. If I'm going to came here to preach, you know, this morning and there was traffic, God, I am suffering for you because I'm sitting in traffic. No, that's inconvenience. When the Bible talks about suffering and suffering for your faith, it is, and it's suffering at a deeper, not just being inconvenienced, but at a deeper level of who you are, suffering. He says, if we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. But here's something else that the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed in us. Then he talks about creation suffering. He says, basically, creation itself knows that this world ain't right. Creation itself knows that there is something wrong. Creation itself is groaning. Listen to that language, groaning. This is not just saying, ouch. This is in misery. Creation is in misery. And we see that. We see that with floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis. Creation knows it's out of order, but not just kind of naturally, but we see it all in our relationships, that there's murder and exploitation and greed and lust. It's all out of order. And then Paul brings it personally. He says, we ourselves experience this groaning. See, creation groans with us, meaning that we're also groaning. We're also experiencing this pain of living in this broken and fractured world, as a matter of fact, because we ourselves are broken and fractured. You know, how many times have you cried at night because you were in such pain emotionally or spiritually? How many times Have you gone to bed just, God help me, I don't know what to do? And Paul says, in that groaning, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know what direction to take, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and intercedes for us. Have you ever been in a moment where you just didn't know what to pray or how to pray? But the Holy Spirit is praying for you. When you're emotionally, God, I don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit takes those feelings and he translates it and brings it to God and says, God, this is what they need. And the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God. I don't always know what God's will is. I know y'all like, really? You're the preacher, right? You should know God's will all the time. But no, I don't. And sometimes I don't know how to handle a situation or how to deal with something. And in that groaning, the Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God, knows that I don't know what I should pray for. But the Holy Spirit knows, the Holy Spirit knows God's will and knows what I need. And he brings those together and brings it to God. And said, God, help this poor boy out. He's lost and he needs direction. And the Holy Spirit does that for you, for every believer. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. He helps us in our weakness. And when we say weakness, we already know what that is, because Paul says, because we don't know what to pray for. So in those moments that you, I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to pray for, I don't know how to go, what direction to go, the Holy Spirit's got your back. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And so Paul then says, because of that, we know that everything is going to work together for the good of those who love God. For everyone who is called according to the purpose of God, God's going to make it all right. Because you have the Holy Spirit working on your behalf. Because the Holy Spirit is enabling you to live out your justification in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has freed you to live righteously. And the Holy Spirit has confirmed your adoption as a child of God. And the Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness and in my weakness by praying for us when we don't know what to pray for. And because of that, Paul breaks out really into praise. Those last few verses, verses 31 through 39, is really a praise to God for the victory that every believer in Christ has because of the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the way Paul does, you know, in Romans, he's really having an, if you want to say it this way, an imaginary argument. He says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Answer, no one. He didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also grant us everything? He will. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? No one. Because God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus is the one who died, and even more, has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God. And look at this. Not just the Holy Spirit, but Jesus also prays for you. Now look, I didn't plan this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I appreciate everybody's prayer in here. I appreciate everybody's prayer. But you know what? You all have nothing on Jesus and the Holy Spirit praying for me. And that's for everybody. You can ask me to pray for, and I will pray for you. I do pray for you often, but I ain't got nothing on Jesus and the Holy Spirit praying for you to the Father. Think about that. God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are actively praying for us to God the Father. It ain't getting any better than that. I just had to say that. Then he says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul starts saying, can affliction or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, danger or sword? These are things that these people were dealing with. and says, none of these situations, none of it can separate you from the love of Christ. He says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of all of this, because of what the Holy Spirit is doing and working in our lives as a result of our justification, we are loved by God, and there is nothing, there is no one that can separate us from God's love. That's it. What do you think is separating you from God? What do you think is a barrier between you and God's love? And Paul is saying there is nothing, because God has given you his Spirit. And his Spirit is enabling you to live out the justification, the right standing that you have. And his Spirit is enabling you to live righteously. And his Spirit is the down payment and the deposit to confirm that you are a child of God. And his Spirit is with you even when you are struggling. And let's be real, we are struggling in this world. And in all of that proves that God loves you. And there is nothing, and there's no one, not the devil, not ourselves, not that person at work that gets on your last nerve, not your spouse, not your children, not your parents, not your job situation or your education or your socioeconomic status, not your race, not your gender. There is nothing in all of the world that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because you have the Spirit of God in your life. Because of that, we ought to praise God. And because of that, we ought to walk and live in the freedom that God has graciously given us. That freedom to live righteously before him because of what Christ has done and because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Please join me in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that enables us to live righteously, that confirms our adoption, that helps us in our weakness, who enables us to live out our justification. Lord, sometimes we think we have to do it all of our own. We think that the power of sin is over us, but we thank you for your word that teaches us that the power of sin over our life has been broken. And God, we live according to your Spirit. And help us to do that every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.